Tonight, our Chief Geek Officer Elliot Serrano rides sidecar for the evening along with Hannah Stanley. Then later, we'll get a preview on a show you need to see. And finally, Fullstrom's Fish Market brings the drinks as we do a weekend windup and what's in the box. All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
Hey, everybody. It is a lovely evening in Chicago. I'm going to say lovely. If I keep saying lovely, maybe it will then be so. It is not. It is not lovely.
It's
Christmas
snowing.
Eve, this is lovely.
Yeah.
Christmas Eve
it's
weather.
It's a beautiful Christmas season in Chicago.
If there were twinkling lights. And
that'd be great. Mickey Mouse is lighting up the street later today.
And it's, yeah. I think that's what we need. We need twinkle lights. That makes all this better.
Mickey Mouse would make me feel better about all this. That is true.
Definitely make me feel better.
Yeah, like a man in a Mickey Mouse costume walking around with a wand, I would feel way better about what's
Let's
going
go
on.
To Chicago Costume and make that happen. We'll have
okay.
you dressed up and you can walk around with a wand.
I've been Mickey Mouse before.
I know, that's why I was thinking about
that.
Yeah,
no, that sounds lovely.
Crossing the street walking around.
We did a video here and mm-hmm. I dressed as Mickey Mouse Elliot, who's looking at me crazy, and mm-hmm. people took pictures with me on the street.
You should do it in the snow.
Yeah.
make mouse angels.
I'm going to submit that to Nick.
Yes.
Uh-huh. It's a lovely night.
It is a
so happy.
No, Hannah Stanley and I both agree. This is stupid snow.
It's stupid, stupid, dumb, stupid snow.
Yeah,
it's just ridiculous.
We sound a little forlorn, don't we? Like we've given up hope on life. Don Norton, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. Patty, how are you?
I'm very well. I'm just a little chagrined by the snow.
Well, isn't it funny, you know, in November, early November, when the first snow falls, if it looks as pretty as tonight's snow, we all go, oh, look at that. Isn't that wonderful? And now we're saying, oh, man, we're getting tired of it.
Because it's April.
It's not even that I'm tired of it, because we had a very mild winter. And for the record, I did not jinx us this spring, did I, Craig? Have there been any comments?
No. You never really came out saying how lovely it was.
This winter.
I did mm-hmm. at one point.
Then I blame you.
It's his fault.
I don't know. I kind of remember you making some comments.
You know what I did?
I remember even saying that you'd be jinxing us.
Well, I think more importantly, I have been dancing around the studio because in three games, the Cubs scored 29 runs. 29 runs.
That will be it for the season.
No, that's not it. That is not it for the season. Yeah. So I'm sitting. I don't want to say where I was sitting, but I was in the bathroom. Seems appropriate now. And Kevin Powell's talking to me while I'm in my bathroom. And not to me.
Y'all are really close in this station. I'm telling you.
Wait a minute. Was Kevin on the radio? And were you listening to the radio?
Yes.
Okay, good.
That's the one.
That's a little
better. Well, because I know the people that work here, so when they're on the radio, I feel like they're talking to me.
I can picture them all. That's weird.
That's weird, too.
Yeah.
I probably shouldn't have been doing what I was doing. So, So he breaks in with news. The Cubs have announced that for the rest of the season, Kyle Schwarber is out with a torn ACL and LCL.
I blame myself.
I 29 runs in three games.
I blame myself.
The friend I told you about the other night, yes. who's really into the Cubs and so excited at their start and everything, mm-hmm. he now seems to think this is the beginning of the end, that everyone's going to get hurt, that it's completely over.
But that's how it felt when I was listening to Kevin talk to me about Kyle Schwarber's injuries.
We were so close.
Yeah. Well, and look at this. I mean, like, we're in the bottom of the ninth.
It's two to two.
Or the top of the ninth.
It's two to two when we get half an inch of snow.
We were winning most of this game. Yeah, there's snow. Salma Hayek's on the other television. I don't even know why. That seems like an omen. That's a bad omen.
No,
yes.
The omen is when I buy that player's jersey, automatically, bam, something happens.
Do you have a Schwarber jersey?
I just got a Schwarber
jersey.
Oh,
no.
I have an area.
Tag still on it. You can return it.
Oh, can you return
can
it?
Can I?
If the tags are on it. Why not?
Well, they're also my tears.
That's not refundable.
No.
No exchanges, no returns. But a big hug from
Some
me.
Would
Roger
pay
Bennett.
Extra.
Thank you,
some
Roger.
Would pay extra for your tears.
There's also some. Who knows?
And, yeah, and they all have a restraining order. More after this on 720 WGN. Do we sound that sad about the weather?
Well, at least my friend does.
Oh, and Schwarber?
Yeah.
So, yeah, we are crying over. I was inconsolable for about a half hour today. I was just so very happy with the way things are going and the direction we were heading in.
They're still the team to beat, according to everyone.
Three games. They've played three games.
Yeah, but they're still the team to beat.
Schwarber's out for the season.
They just moved some guys around.
I know,
and everybody,
but like, oh,
every position is
so good.
Solaire is in left now.
Nothing
matters.
Another
guy in the center.
All star.
Yeah, I've met Travis Wood. I met him at the Wiener Circle last year.
Yes, you did.
Good golly, look at the breasts on that woman. I'm watching the Cubs game. Look at the. Did you see that shot? Whoever's watching the Cubs game in the background.
I'm looking outside at the snow, and I was like, wait, what?
There's this kid sitting in front of
She's still up there. They're still there.
Holy cats.
She's right behind.
That cameraman has got some good. Wow. Yeah, he's got some good eyesight. He's like, no, we're focused on the kid. No, it's
he's having an ice cream.
He just happens to have her head just his
this
head.
This is
just,
a family thing.
She happens to be sitting behind him.
It's what are you guys getting upset about?
Enormous. Boobs.
Yeah, really, they were intense.
They were
the entire thing behind him, actually.
We don't even have high def, and I like I got hit with one of those things. I'm in an interesting mood tonight. It's snowing out, and I had an adventure tonight. I'm working on something called The Artist's Way, which is kind of this new agey self-help book that I've had for over 15 years. I bought it when I went to a place called Kripala out in the Adirondack Mountains at a yoga retreat. And I had just started doing stand-up comedy, and I thought, well, this is, you know, new agey. And, you know, being a stand-up comic, you're not accountable except for what you do in front of an audience. So I thought, here's like a step-by-step book of how to get in touch with your inner artist and all this stuff. I've had it for a long time. I know, it is that corny. But so that's why I never made it through the book. You do this every morning. You have to get up and write 3 pages.
I just love the way you went, inner artist.
Inner
like,
artist.
Like you're like dismissing that you're an artist.
Well, that's what the whole point of the book is, that you, as an artist.
It.
Yeah, the whole point of the book is that that's how we treat ourselves. As artists, we don't give ourselves permission to feel, right, but I'm a comic, and I just always felt weird saying I'm an artist.
You're a storyteller.
So, okay, exactly. So one of the assignments, so I'm now on in an online group with one of our favorites from the show, Ranjit, from a former Cupid player. He has organized a group of people to sort of check in with each other, see if you've done your morning pages, if you've done some of the assignments. And one of the assignments is to take yourself on an artist's date. Take yourself out for a date. You can't go with anybody. You have to promise that you will take yourself out on a date every week.
Is that what they call it? I've been doing that for years.
Well, that's what I was thinking, Elliot. I was like, I go out to the movies a lot when I travel, when I'm on the road. I go out and I do writing. I go out to eat by myself a lot. So I was like, well, what can I do that's different? So some of the suggestions were like going to the garden, going to a museum, go bowling. I have a bad shoulder, so I'm like, well, what else can I do like bowling that isn't bowling? So I Googled. So right, it's kind of like a laid back sort of activity.
You went curling.
So I Googled retro arcades in the Chicagoland area. And this is how I ended up at the Logan Arcade. And I had so much fun. I spent about an hour and a half. That's why I had to run late. I told Hannah, I'm like, no, I promised myself I would do this thing. So I was on a date. But here's what I was going to do. Hannah, do you know what I was going to do? I told Steve, I go, I have to go on a date with myself. And he goes, what are you going to do? And I said, well, I haven't gone shopping in a long time. He goes, I am so glad I'm not dating you. He goes, oh, that sounds like a lot of fun. Oh, what's the free gift of purchase over there? I've got to go check out that set.
What's the Clinique counter?
He goes, and then I did not tell him that I decided. I just left the house because he was mocking my date.
Yeah, see.
If I told him I was going to an arcade, he would be very upset with me.
Your date sounds very much like the dates I go on with myself.
With yourself.
You know, I go out.
You don't go play pinball with any girls? Not as a metaphor for anything else?
I wish. I go out. Well, that's the thing. I go out. So I take myself out to eat.
Yes.
I'll do a little shopping. Maybe I'll go to a comic shop.
But do you think of it as I'm taking myself out, or do you just go do those things? Do you say I'm taking Elliot? I'm taking artist Elliot.
He's taking Elliot himself. He's treating himself.
So you're already doing it.
Treat yourself.
I treat myself. And then I have a little, you know, a little extracurricular, maybe a pinball game, go to a movie. And then I go all the way with myself by the end. And then I don't even call myself the next day, which is why I shouldn't really date myself. I shouldn't.
I just go to Target.
Yes,
and like I, you know,
take yourself out.
I toil
someplace.
A little
but
longer
that's not,
than I could.
That's what is Patty saying. Taking yourself to Target is not taking yourself out. That's just a person going to Target.
Right.
That's
if
you
I'd
just
gone
going
to,
there.
If I'd gone to Nordstrom's, that's something I would do anyway. I wanted, like, where would I go someplace fun? Where would I take myself?
If I buy myself a steak
like an adventure?
Somewhere.
Yeah, an adventure. Yeah.
If I buy myself a steak somewhere, that's me taking myself out.
Yes.
If I purchase that, that's not something I do every day.
You're treating
right.
yourself.
Then that's me being fancy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm telling you, if you go to the Logan Arcade and you're playing, I'm looking at your Facebook page.
I played
page
so
here.
Many pinball machines.
The Game of Thrones pinball.
I played that one.
The Star Wars pinball.
I played
pinball.
That one first. It was the first one I played for you.
Oh, see, that would be like, that's a date right there.
I'm saying. And then I played the Doctor Who, the Addams Family, Twilight Zone. All those pinball machines.
Did they have the Indiana Jones?
I did not see Indiana Jones.
That one. There's only one place I know of in Chicago that has it.
I would have played it if I had seen it.
See? Yeah, but Star Wars and Indiana Jones are the two. If you want me to show up at your arcade, you need to have the Star Wars pinball and the Indiana Jones pinball.
They had AC/DC and KISS.
Oh, that one's actually, the AC/DC one's really
so
cool.
So good. And it yelled at me because the pinball was stuck in a cannon. And it was counting down. I didn't know what to do, and I didn't see the light right in front of me. And then it just shoots the ball. It goes next time. Fire, dumbass. So I was like, this is a surly game. Hell's yeah. Bells. What's wrong with this thing?
I was thunderstruck.
Oh, another one.
Here
bites
we go
the dust.
Again.
Oh
yeah.
No.
Why is this game coming on air? You guys were playing this as we were getting ready for the show.
Yeah, but these are just AC/DC lyrics.
But we didn't really declare that we were playing it. No. We just sort of stumbled upon a game and decided it was fun because we were tormenting you.
Yes, you and Elliot.
Even though you were playing.
Hey, Craig.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what's that?
For those about to rock.
That's not even a sentence.
We salute you.
Oh, there you go.
Okay.
So what are the? I also played.
There's only one way to rock.
Is there?
Back in Black?
Nice. Oh. Yeah.
That's not a conversation. You guys aren't saying stuff.
No, but we are. Those are words.
No, they are words.
I don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
I'm getting so angry.
I played, do you remember what my favorite game is that I play? That my the one thing I was really good at?
Gallica?
No.
Pole position?
No. Mm. I'm doing this.
I can't see.
I can't do it when I...
The ski ball?
No, wait. What's
Space Invaders?
No, this one. There's a roller ball.
It wasn't Space Invaders?
I don't... It's funny.
Centipede.
Is that a golf game?
Centipede.
Not the golf game. No, Centipede's my favorite.
Frogger
was there.
Golden Tee is Donkey Kong. He's talking about.
Donkey Kong was there.
Okay. So he was there?
Tapper was there.
How is Donkey Kong looking?
He's looking a little worse for the wear.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. I mean, I heard his
wife left him. A little rough around the edges. Yeah, he's a little pixelated.
Yeah. Poor guy. He had some good days there, and then that Mario guy got all the publicity.
Yeah, that guy. I did not see him. There was a Simpsons game.
Oh, that one's a fun one.
There's something in the back of the room that everyone was like yelling about, some big display once.
I've been to bars like that. You need to stay away from the back room.
Well, I really, really wanted to get to the Game of Thrones pinball machine so I could play it for Craig. So I had to wait for those
Yeah, and while you were doing that, Craig and I were recording a Game of Thrones podcast.
That's probably true.
Yeah.
Does anyone get stabbed in the pinball machine?
There's a blade that comes up.
It's a red pinball machine. That's all I know.
It just goes red. Yeah.
A sword comes up and stops a ball for multi-ball.
Oh.
Right? So it holds a ball. It's locked.
Right. Is it a Lannister sword?
It looked Lannister-y. And then you get to choose your battles, for which house you want to like.
Ooh.
And a dragon swoops down and then chomps.
There's a dragon in the back. Oh, it has an upper level pinball area. So if you get the ball up into that area by the dragon, you can just play pinball up there for a little while.
Yeah, that's the other games have that.
Yeah.
That's very nice. That's cool. Was Jon Snow alive?
I don't know, but winter's coming is what the game kept telling me.
That doesn't sound
winter's
good.
Coming outside.
It's game. It's here.
Yeah, I play the game, and look what happened.
You know what it is? It's a hazy shade of winter.
Look around.
Oh,
winter brown.
On the ground.
And the sky.
I don't think we're alone now.
Uh-uh.
Oh, wait, that's wrong.
No, neither version of that song.
Don Norton wants to know what's going on.
Here's the thing. When you...
It does move along, doesn't it?
just be careful when you're out on the sidewalk if you don't want to slip. Walk like an Egyptian.
Oh, there it is.
This game makes no sense. That way you would slip twice as much if you walked like an Egyptian outside.
Not necessarily. There's a lot of shuffling. And your balance.
Oh, are we doing this? Yeah. Do you have one
Let's
hand
Let's have
up?
A normal conversation where we say words. No.
Like Vogue?
No. Damn it, Madonna.
All right, fine. My lips are sealed. More after this on 720. Well, we stroll along. Stop it. Stop it, Craig. Stop. It is not a winter wonderland. It is springtime.
We can build a snowman.
It is. You know what? We are about to enter the postseason playoffs. We're going into playoffs for hockey season. And even though hockey's played on the ice, it's springtime when we do the playoffs. And you know what? A few years ago, I was lucky enough to be in L.A. during the playoffs with the Kings. And I was hanging out with friends of mine. There's a Chicago bar out there. And I was hanging out with Deirdre Looney from Chicago and her sister, Siobhan. I met her when I was there. I want to say it was like 3 years ago. And she was telling me about her family. She was telling me how proud she was of her son who was playing junior hockey. And she was telling me that she wanted to get him, you know, into acting and into television. And, you know, they live in LA, so that makes sense. But, you know, I'm in show business and people tell you that kind of stuff. And then I was like, oh, that's nice. And then I started seeing posts. Not only is he working on television, he is one of the leads in a brand new series called The Detour, which is premiering on Monday. Liam Carroll's on the line with us. Hey, Liam, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm really good. This is such a crazy time. How long ago did you start acting?
Well, I think it's about 2 years now.
Yeah, that sounds about right. That's about when your mom was like, yeah, I think I'm going to send him out for auditions and stuff.
Yeah.
Your mom has had the right instincts. Was that something you were interested in, you know, being on television or acting at all?
I mean, well, I was playing hockey, and someone on my hockey team, his like, dad owns a family theater company.
Uh-huh.
And his parents kind of just make him do it because they don't have to pay. It's just kind of something to do.
Right.
He's like, hey, do you want to do this, you know, theater with me? I want to hang out with somebody. I was like, yeah, sure, I'll do it. I didn't really think I'd do any acting, just messing around and having fun. But it turned out I kind of liked it, and, you know, I was, like, good at it. I don't know why. And it just, like, it was fun to be someone else.
But what
I don't know, I just kind of liked it.
What a great way to kind of stumble into it. A friend asked you to kind of tag along, and the next thing you know.
Yeah.
I mean, really, how long ago did you audition for The Detour?
I think it was like December of 2014, going 15.
Mm-hmm. And you had already done the Neighbors, right?
Yeah.
And how
that was like, you know, like one line, and that was like my just like one of my first auditions. You know, I was like, I thought that was like a big role for me because, you know, I was actually on TV, and it was like one line. I didn't think I'd get anything better than that.
Well, it was a big role. I mean, how many people, when you went into audition, let's start with The Neighbors, and you look around, are there just a bunch of kids that look like you, kind of like the same height and hair color?
Yeah, same height. I mean, we all have like a little bit different. So like, you know, there's like, they're all like, you know, white hair, brown hair, you know, it's just
right.
Like, but like they all kind of look different a little bit. They got like a different structure, and it's just like, you don't really know what they're looking for. And so it's kind of just, I always think just be yourself. And if they want that, then you know, like that's the role that's for you.
By the way, everyone in the studio is looking up and going, how much more solid could this kid be? Because we're all like, I don't even know who I am. And bring that. Just be confident. So you get your first role and then you audition for The Detour. How many callbacks did you have for The Detour? Which is, by the way, the Jason Jones and Samantha Bee series, for people who are not familiar yet. You will be starting on Monday. But how many callbacks did you have for that one?
Well, when I read the script, you know, like some scripts, like they're a little bit confusing. I don't really understand. I get help.
Mm-hmm.
But this one was just like really funny, and I just practiced a lot, and I went in there, and then that was it. Like I waited like a month. I thought I didn't get it because it was like a month went by. I was like, aw, dang. And then like a month later, they called. They're like, oh, well, you're still in the loop. Make sure you stay available for these dates. I was like, wait, I didn't even remember the audition at the time. I was like, what audition? And we looked back and we're like, oh, okay, I guess we're still in the loop. We didn't really know what the loop meant.
You look back with all of your people, Liam. They had to get in touch with some of your people and figure out,
yeah.
You know, because you may have been moving on at that point. You had another offer.
Yeah.
And stay available.
Right.
What does that mean to a young Liam when they tell you to stay available?
I mean, I know
available.
The Hunger Games was you know, being made around the time, and you're probably thinking about that. But this is insane. How old is this person?
Yeah.
Liam, you are amazing.
Thanks.
Don't leave town. As it, like you're like, no, I have school.
Right.
I'm
yeah,
good.
No, I wasn't going to go anywhere. I mean, this is like practically like the, you know, the big role, and I'm still in the loop, whatever that means, and pretty excited. And then, you know, and then they say, well, we're coming in, and we want to meet with Jason Jones and Steve Pink, the director.
Oh, yeah. He's from Chicago. Yeah. Isn't he from Chicago?
I'm not sure. I just know the movies that he's directed.
That is so okay. So you're meeting with Jason Jones and with Steve Pink, the director.
Now, I mean, I didn't really know who they were until I looked them up because I don't really the movies they do are like not really movies I watch. So
well, you're also too young. Some of them are a little
yeah,
more adult.
So I don't really. So I looked them up, and apparently they were like big. So I was, you know, I was excited. I was like, okay, and I went in there, and it looked really funny. And so, well, at the time, I was at hockey, and I like spread like I don't know, I hurt my ankle,
mm-hmm.
or broke my toe, that's what it was.
Ugh.
I was wearing a boot, and my mom was wearing a boot. So we're both wearing a boot, walking into the audition. And then, so Jason Jones is from Canada, so he plays hockey. So he walks in, he's like, oh, what happened to your toe? He's like, oh, I broke it playing hockey. He's like, really? I play hockey. And it's like, and my mom came in, and she's like, oh, yeah, I broke it playing hockey. He's like, well, I play hockey, and it was like a big hockey reunion kind of thing. It was like
that. See, and that's when Jason Jones had to know, well, this is the right kid for my show.
Yeah.
Because on the show, you basically play a fictionalized version of his kid, don't you?
Yeah.
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 And have you met his son?
Yeah, but his son's like, when I was filming in the summer of 2015, I think I was 12, and my birthday was actually on set. I had my birthday on set. I was 12 going 13,
mm-hmm.
and his son was about 10 at the time, I think. So, I mean...
Oh, so he... Well, and that makes sense that he would want you to be a little bit older so he can kind of do some different
yeah.
things with you, right? And his son can kind of grow into that. He'll keep getting more stories as the series goes on. And his wife in real life is Samantha Bee. And have you been hanging out with her too?
Yeah, she's really nice.
Yeah,
she has her show, The Full Frontal. I didn't really watch it because my parents don't want me watching it. But
yeah, she uses a little bit of language, Liam.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna be a little bit honest with you. There's some language. Oh, it's called Full Frontal. But yeah, someday, and it may not be as interesting to you right now. What do you watch, Liam?
I don't know. Well, I watch shows like, Criminal Minds. I don't really know.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Well, my mom watches it, and I walked in. It was kind of cool. I like intense shows.
Well, you know why I like Criminal Minds, Liam? Because they almost always get the guy, don't they?
Yeah, it makes me feel a little bit safer.
Exactly. I like how it's always tied up in a bow. Once in a while, they have those kind of running storylines, but for the most part, they get the guy at the end. By the way, I was right. Steve Pink is from Evanston Township High School. And I believe he went to high school with my husband. So that's exciting. You have a lot of Chicago ties. Can we tell everybody what the family business is in Chicago?
Yeah,
it's the Abbey Pub right there on Nelson Avenue. Your grandmother and grandfather own that place, and it's run by your uncles.
Yeah.
Do you get a chance to hang out there when you come into Chicago?
Yeah, but recently it burned down.
That's right. There was a fire. How are they doing? Have you kept up on how they're doing with the rebuilding?
I don't know what they're going to do exactly, because I heard that they weren't going to build it, and then because they didn't want to accept, like, money, because they didn't want to, like, ask people for money, because they couldn't really rebuild it, so they didn't rebuild it, but I'm not sure what's going on.
This is where all the loonies are like, hey, get back to the kids' television series. Okay, fair enough. The Detour is premiering on Monday, and can people watch it online, too? Do you know Liam?
They just released the first episode, the pilot, on YouTube.
Okay.
Like 2 days ago.
What? So we can watch this now?
We could have been prepped.
I think so.
I should have watched this. You know what? Your publicist did send me the link, and I probably should have watched it. I apologize to you, Liam. I owed you more than this.
You haven't watched the pilot yet?
I haven't watched the pilot yet.
He's so sad, though.
Have you watched the pilot? Did you watch the pilot, Liam?
Yeah, I did.
And what did you think?
It was better than I thought it would be.
Isn't that weird?
It's funny.
Right, because you're going through it. It all seems, especially because you do take after take, right? In front of you, over your shoulder.
They don't really know exactly what they're going for because it's kind of like spread out. They don't like shoot it exactly in order.
Mm-hmm.
Like our first day on set was shooting the, you know, like right in there in the strip club. And it's just like, you don't really know what's going on.
Right.
I mean, you can read the script, but like, once you see it kind of put together, it's like a little puzzle piece.
Well, we're going to watch the show, that's the thing. I want to watch the show and see, you know, obviously the finished project. I think I'm going to watch the premiere on Monday. That's why I haven't seen it yet. I'm going to go see it
The premiere shoots like three episodes, like shows three episodes that day.
I think I'm going to your aunt's house to watch it for a party on Monday night. So I'd rather be surprised with everybody. I'm excited for you, Liam. This is amazing. I'm so excited for you and your family. And TBS already announced that they're going to order the second season. They didn't even air it yet.
I know. That's like, I'm excited because Jason kind of gave us a little like what they're shooting for in the second season, and it's hilarious.
Oh, see,
because it's not just like one of those comedies. Like it kind of has a storyline to it.
Right. Well, yeah. So it's not like a hit it and quit it kind of that was a weird way to put that.
It's not just like comedy episode. It's just funny episode. It has like a, you know, like they're going to a destination and they have like a reason why they're getting to the destination, and then there's like cops involved, and it's like. At the end of the pilot, they have, like, Jason talking to, like, a federal FBI agent, and you don't really know what's going on. And it's,
wow.
I think that ties in with the second season. I don't know. It's just, like, it's good to, like, it's funny, though. So it's, like.
So it's long story, kind of, you know, we get a snippet of the story as we go throughout the season.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If they make, like, actor rookie cards, I want Liam to sign his and send it to me, because this man's going to be very famous.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
He's already on his way. And everybody can follow him, by the way, on Twitter at TheLiamCarroll. That's two R's, two L's. And he's got an Instagram account, Official Liam Carroll, and on Facebook as well. Liam, can we check in with you? Talk to your mom. See if I can check in with you. We want to watch the pilot, and I want to see if I can talk to you again next Friday night. We'd love to do that. Everyone watch the show, and then you can call and ask Liam questions next Friday night. I think that works out very well.
Yeah.
Thank you, Liam Carroll. Congratulations. We'll talk to you next week. Say hi to your mom for me.
Yeah.
Take care. Bye. Okay. How cool is that? Oh, my God, so adorable.
He's adorable.
So sweet. kind of one of Chicago's own. I think we get to claim him as our own because his mom's from here. Does that count? Everybody? You agree?
I'm following him now on Instagram, and he's precious.
Oh, he's so
I don't understand. Griffin is so far advanced.
Look out for the 13-year-olds, the 12 and 13-year-olds.
I got to watch out for this.
Look out for these this wave of kids.
Wow.
They are not playing. Did I tell you that I asked Griffin if he wanted a phone, and he said, why? He said, why would I want a phone? I don't know, because you don't get one.
Griffin will be the kid who doesn't want his driver's license either.
No.
You're like, you drive me everywhere. Why would I want to do that? It's too much responsibility.
Man. A pipe and a button, nose and two eyes made out of coal. Frosty the Snowman is a fairy tale, they say. He was made of snow, but the children... Stop it. Stop it right now, Craig. Craig, stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop. Why are
there
you enjoying the Christmas music?
Well, because you embrace it.
Because we're tormenting
you
him.
Steer
with
into it.
You steer into it. That's when you're sliding in the ice. You turn into the spin. We're not spiraling. We are just chugging away, sloshing through this mess of spring.
I love this time of year, the Christmas time of year. This is great.
Throw something at you.
Yeah,
it's the most wonderful time of the year.
It is. I'm going to get my tree today.
Glenn, I'm so happy to see you that you've brought Bloody Marys for us on this wintry evening.
Thank you.
Glenn from Folsom's Fish Market. I just saw a list with you on the top 10 places to eat fish in Chicago. You were on that list, and not number 10 either. Just saying.
Again, really?
Again, yes. I don't know where it was, but I was like, hey, there's my guy.
That's always nice to hear.
Again, this is a lot like our conversation with Liam. Like, I just kind of trip across an experience. And Liam, our guest from the last segment, is related. He's the nephew of one of my friends from high school. He's now a star on a TV series. And the reason I'm saying that is because I was kind of like, oh, yeah, sure. I'm sure he's going to be doing really well auditioning. And the next thing you know, he's a star. For your place, I was just walking down the street trying to find some place to eat. I walk in. I'm like, this place is amazing. You happen to be standing behind the counter there at the host stand. And I walked in, like, this place smells amazing. And he goes,
that's
well,
your
thank
first
you.
Words, yes.
Those are my first words walking into the Folsom Fish Market. Because it doesn't smell like a fish market. And I didn't even realize. I just saw Folsom's and I didn't really pay. It looked interesting to me and I was drawn in. And it just smells heavenly in your place.
That's really nice of you to say so.
Love. It smells like love. The love of food and good times.
Keep going. You're not quite there yet.
Not quite there. I don't. That's all I got right now. I'll see what happens after the Bloody Mary.
Love is all you need.
Love is all.
Is somebody...
Craig is going to start throwing things.
Craig is leaving.
Craig is stomping out of the studio.
Stop in the name of love.
Aww.
Now, can I give a quick itinerary of what's over there?
You are now two firsts. Off the air, you were having a discussion with someone you've brought into the studio. She does not want to be on a microphone. And that's her beautiful laugh, by the way. She's reluctant to get on a microphone. And I just enjoyed the conversation because you're a little disappointed that she won't be on a microphone.
Because here's the dichotomy. The show that I'm in the heat of the night, they're doing a reverse casting. That's Mr. Tibbs over there, okay?
I'm not calling you Mr. Tibbs unless you get on a microphone. That's all
they're
I'm saying.
Casting a white female.
I'm calling you scaredy cats.
I know what's happening here. That's a side gal, isn't it?
That got creepy.
It's the girl. Yeah. It's the girlfriend. You don't want the wife at home.
He wants us to know her. She doesn't want to be known. Maybe he's her side guy. Side guy.
Uh oh.
Yeah. Look what you did there. You didn't even do any reverse casting.
Let's get something straight. And I'm a remarkably unsophisticated guy. When I see a woman, that's the only woman I see. Period. There's no wife. There's no other date.
That should be a lyric in something. I don't know what that's from, but that sounds like it should.
Working on it.
And also,
give me a minute.
So this is a double visit because we invited you back. I know that you're performing in Heat of the Night at which theater? The Globe Theater?
At Shatter Globe Theater Company at Theater Wit on Belmont Avenue. I think it's 1228 is the address.
1229. 1229 West Belmont.
And this is Steve Peebles right here.
Hey, Steve Peebles. How are you doing?
I'm well. Thank you.
We had a call from security. Mr. Peebles is here, and we were like, good for him.
It's the most official I've ever felt in my life. Yeah.
They called, and we were like, okay, we don't know who Mr. Peebles is, but we shall let him in. And
it sounds like he belongs.
Do you have a dog with you?
Should I go back out and look for one?
Glenn's like, I have no idea what's happened in my interview.
I thought Mr. Peebles was the ventriloquist dummy on Seinfeld.
I don't know.
For a while.
No, that's Mr. Peepers.
So close.
I think you're thinking of Mr. Peabody. We got the first initial.
All right, everyone straight it out. Make a diagram. We'll come back after this and figure it all out. You're listening pretty late.
Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Man, it doesn't show signs of stopping. And I brought me some corn for popping. The lights are turning.
You need to make this stop right now. You need to make it stop. You need to make it stop. You need to make it go away. Stop playing Christmas music. Let it snow. Dean Martin. Did you just do Dean Martin on me? I can't even.
I mean, that's just a good song. That's just genuinely good. Is it snowing?
Even.
Oh, it's snowing. I didn't even notice. That's just a really good song.
And then you put a lot of vodka in my Bloody Mary. I just want the record to
show. You know, actually, I did have a different bump song set up that was not winter specific. Mm-hmm.
What did you have? Hold on, once I get this.
Because I made the drinks, and we're now entering the danger zone.
This is a first. There's a little knob on your box over there. We have a technical difficulty from one of our guests, Glenn Fulstrom.
Got it.
You got it. He got it. So, Craig, is this officially the first time you have mixed cocktails for the show? Are you? What makes you nervous? I would say, what would you say the safe pour, Glenn? When you are, let's say you got a big bottle of alcohol and you're making cocktails for everybody. I usually count to four. One, two, three, four.
2.5 ounces.
Is that four counts?
No, two and a half ounces is a little bit more. It's about a 5 or 6 count. But you want 2.5 ounces of vodka and you're drinking about 6 ounces of Bloody Mary.
I was a bartender at one point, was for like 6 months and I wasn't very good at it. So you guys are welcome. Here you go. That's your drink this evening.
How much would you pour?
I think I poured way too much all the time. I think that's why they asked me to stop doing it.
But my customers and your customers loved you.
They did.
I overpoured as well when I was a bartender. Yeah. I was a bartender at Grizzly's Lodge.
I got nice tips and I was a man, so I thought that was probably because of the alcohol.
It was because of the alcohol, yes.
No, you're a handsome young man, Craig.
Nothing about handsome at all.
There you go. Yeah. That's kind of one of the dicey things about being in the restaurant industry is you really have to trust your staff above everything else. And that it's such a huge volume and there can be a big turnover. I mean, I saw a lot of stuff. I saw a lot of stuff when I was a server, a bartender. And so how do you keep it? Because I know you picked out your chef from seeing him walk down the street from leaving another job. And you're like, hey, you want to work for me? Do you have instincts about people?
And that started, an 11-year relationship that's still ongoing.
I know. So do you have instincts about what someone looks honest?
Yeah. After doing this for a while, doing hiring, things like that, you get certain instincts, and they are not always correct.
Right.
But you have to go with that, and then you have to put as many systems in as possible, and then you just hope for the best.
Well, you've done very well, because Fulstrom's Fish Market is revered. Every time I say it, people are like, oh, my God, I love that place.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. No, everyone loves your place.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have a whole wall of cereal. Elliot, have you been to Fulstrom's Fish Market?
No, I've not. But it's like every time I'm on this show and someone new comes in, I'm like, whoop, adding that to the bucket
list. New place. Well, our favorite. And you know, our favorite, our first restaurant we ever had and our closest relationship is with Knife and Tyne.
Sure.
We started with them. They were listening to the show before they even opened. They were gutting the place and tweeting at us because we ordered a Domino's pizza on air one night and we were following because you have an app and you can follow the creation of your pizza and it's en route and as it's being delivered. And we got tweeted at by Carissa Schaefer. Don't ever do that again. Please call us. We will bring you food. But it's not like something you expect to do.
So they worked and listened to you.
They were working and listening to us. But you listen to the show at night, and I'm flattered.
I do.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We do our best.
Do you have an app where I can watch the shrimp being made? I'm just curious.
You know what you can watch? You can go to Eagle Cam and watch Eagles Nest. There's an Eagles Cam in, is it in Pennsylvania or Washington?
It is in Washington, D.C. There is an Eagle Cam, the Avon Lake Bald Eagle Cam.
So
right now, the eagle is sleeping.
So you want a shrimp? You want a shrimp cam?
Shrimp cam. I could add it to the panda cam because there's also a panda cam.
Craig, panda cam.
It is 12:13:37. The bald eagle is still sleeping, with his head tucked slowly between his lovely feathers.
So what we missed was everything. It's the exact same report as last night.
Yeah, no, we're not going to get a lot of different stuff.
Relax. The continuous passive motion opens.
What happened? Wow, the eagle apparently. Does
I feel
not
like work. That was Roger. Roger's messing with some stuff upstairs. He's waving.
He's waving.
Hey,
Roger. Was him. Roger.
That was not the Eagle Cam. The Eagle Cam does not have.
Why
that
are you bowing, Roger? There's no bowing necessary. Do you? I push buttons.
I'm
all
sorry.
Time.
I'm sorry. I'm not Eagle worthy. Cam. I'm not worthy.
It's fine. He looks like an eagle.
There's no bowing in radio.
Yeah. You know, we actually have a Roger Cam.
You do. I can give updates on the Roger Cam. Yeah. Roger is playing audio from his thing upstairs.
He's also settling in. He's waving right now.
Hi,
there's
Roger.
Don Norton has dropped off with some paperwork for him for the overnight news.
Roger, come and get some food.
Roger, come and get some food.
I didn't even smell it up here. Sorry.
That's because it's good
food.
What
does that mean?
Well, I thought I would smell food. I usually have a keen sense of smell.
From 7 floors? Are you a superhero of some kind?
You're a remarkable human being.
Seriously,
Roger Badish.
That is amazing.
Come on down. Have some food. We've
okay.
got some really good food. And if you don't, I know that you're working all night. I'm only working for about another 15 minutes or so. but we do have Bloody Mary mix. You don't have to put vodka in it. Unless you have Craig make the drink for you, and then all bets are off. I don't
even know if I put Bloody Mary mix in patties.
Yeah.
pretty sure that's just vodka.
It's quite
straight
tasty.
Vodka. All you those guys, clear Bloody Marys coming out.
Yeah, it's amazing. You have your own in-house Bloody Mary mix.
Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. Make it from scratch. Mm-hmm. We're selling it retail now, and it's selling like red. It's wonderful to have your name on a label on something retail.
Can you come do the Highwood Bloody Mary Fest next summer?
No, I'm going to do it in July.
That's in the summer.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I've been a judge 2 years in a row for the Bloody. So maybe I just get disqualified if I start like having favorites. I probably shouldn't say anything.
I was invited.
All right.
To do it, yeah.
Well, now they have to not tell us what the restaurant is so that I don't know.
Now you guys have to pretend to not know each other.
You don't know me.
There. Yeah.
What are the plans? What's Betty, your gar- the gar- okay, can I? Can I will walk you through this. Okay. So one of the things that's important is the presentation and the description of, you know, what goes into the mix, you know, the kind of, yeah. Why are you looking at me like that?
There's I'm listening intently.
You're looking at me like I'm crazy. So there is an explanation of how you came about the taste and the flavors and the blend. There's also maybe a little bit of a history of the restaurant. You don't do it too long. I would say keep it brief, but also make it interesting. And then your garnish is really important. We also get very hungry. Anything that had like a little bit of a, like anything that was, like there was a little bagel, a little hard-boiled egg was good.
Oh, God.
There's places that have like candied bacon. It was very tasty.
What happened to less is more?
Well, the ones that even just had, like, weren't there some, you're right, the more extravagant ones I couldn't even deal with.
One had, like, a whole cheeseburger on top.
Remember the one that was in the, wasn't there a taco salad bowl?
It was a taco salad. It was a Bloody Mary served in a taco salad bowl.
Mm-hmm. You know, I just envisioned, like, a table with about 10 glasses of different Bloody Mary mix on it with numbers in front of it.
No.
So the restaurants bring a whole tray for each judge, and they come out, and they put it in front of the judge, and then they do the presentation, explain it, and everything.
This comes out
one by one from each restaurant.
This is good to know.
I feel like, am I helping them cheat? But then the other restaurants that have been there for years.
They had a roller coaster. Just went over it. So
remember the bouncy house?
The bouncy house.
The bouncy house. That was amazing.
I was like, wow, how did they get that in a Bloody Mary drink?
That's the best garnish ever.
Did any of these win, though?
I would say the ones that, like Toadstool won 2 years ago, and they had a little, and I remember it was like on a little palette, it had three different ones, so three different styles of Bloody Mary, but they were, each one was elegant and simple, like you were saying, what happened to less is more.
Yeah.
But I would say the ones that have the best mix. There was one that had, it was too chunky, had like almost like gazpacho quality to it, and we had to have a thicker straw, and then now it's, I can't.
Yeah, I just go for complexity of the one flavor of the one Bloody Mary mix. Yeah, yeah. I look for that.
Well, it's well done, and the food that you have brought as well. Mm. There's a is that a smoked trout dip?
Smoked trout dip,
so good.
Smoked shrimp, and I think the world's best smoked tuna fish salad sandwich.
Oh, I know it's got what kind of cheese did you put on that? Because
Swiss,
and thank you for the rye bread. I think everything is better on rye. I might be the only person, but I'm a big fan of the rye.
I'm glad you enjoyed it because it's supposed to be multigrain, but that's okay.
Is that rye bread?
Let's see it.
That's rye bread, isn't it? Aren't those rye seeds? No? It's multigrain?
Oh, I guess the guys made it with rye after all, huh? Okay, well.
So did I just get someone in trouble, Craig?
No, that's the last time he works at that store.
Wouldn't you say that's rye bread, Elliot?
It kind of looks like multigrain.
Whoever made the tuna fish tonight, just go home. You're fired as of right now. Just please leave.
You might be right. It might be
multigrain. My boys are epic. They're great. They're wonderful.
And Mr. Peebles? Mr. Peeble? I'm sorry, is there an S?
Oh, Peebles, yes.
Okay, Mr. Peebles. I don't know why I'm calling you Mr. Peebles. That's how you were introduced to us.
That's quite all right. I'll take it.
And your first name
is? It's the only situation where it seems to make sense.
Is security.
It's here in the studio, yeah. Yes.
Mr. Peebles, have you eaten at Fullstrom's?
I have. You know, it's right across the street from Theater Wit, where, you know, we're going to be playing our show.
You're not required just because you're in the theater doing it at the Shadow Globe.
Not required for Shattered Globe purposes.
But it's a nice
investment. It's right there. Why would I go somewhere else?
You should not. You should go right there. And how have the rehearsals been for In the Heat of the Night?
They've been good, you know. I mean, it's a tense show, you know. The show deals with, you know, racial tension, and it's a murder mystery, so there's a ticking clock behind everything.
Okay.
So the basic urgency that you look for in any show is just amplified in this one. And it's just a careful balance to make sure that you're doing, you know, justice to the piece and making sure that you're, you know, working on the same artistry in the room as you should.
Right.
While not, you know, feeling terribly gross about yourself if you're playing, you know, a racist in the South in 1962. You know, making sure that you're still, you know, establishing a camaraderie with everybody that you're creating this piece of art with.
You know, right. You don't want to have the hostility sort of manifest in a tangible way.
Correct.
In a personal way.
Exactly.
Language is very strong in this play. Very, very strong. Very, very direct.
You know what? Let's talk about that when we come back. So this is we're talking to Glenn from he is the proprietor of Fullstrom's, one of the proprietors and the board of directors. Should we say board of directors?
Good.
Fullstrom's Fish Market. That's on Belmont and what's the cross street?
One block east of Southport.
So Belmont near Southport, right across the street from the Shadow Globe Theater, Witt Theater actually, where the Shadow Globe Theater group is doing in the heat of the night. Elliot Serrano is enjoying himself, I hope, as well.
My goodness, this tuna fish is good.
Isn't that so very, very good?
Really? Yes, thank you.
We'll find out more about the restaurant and the language and the performance of In the Heat of the Night when we come back on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. There we go. That's feeling a little more springtime, a little more frisky, a little more light. That snow is melting, Craig. It is going away.
Real quick text message from the 260. This is from Semper Fi, Truck and Phil.
Hey, Truck and Phil.
Now that it's snowing again, tis the season. Remind Roger Badish to stay off Lakeshore Drive. Only 258 days until Hanukkah, 259 until Christmas, 260 until Boxing Day in Canada. Semper Fi, Truck and Phil.
Semper Fi.
Yeah, nice.
He actually he sends some photos as well on Instagram, so you can follow him on Instagram. You can follow Trucker Phil on Instagram.
Yeah, Phil, Christmas season. Mm-hmm. Getting ready.
I saw, we have guests in the studio, and I will bring you into this conversation before we get back to talking the play that's opening in the heat of the night. I was on 294 heading back into the city from like Lake Forest, and there was somebody hauling a humongous pine tree. Steve was driving, and I was trying to get a picture of it, and I couldn't get a shot of it. You can ask Steve, I swear, just a ginormous pine tree.
Wait, did you say hauling a pine tree?
It was the cab of a semi, but with a big flatbed, open flatbed. That's how big the pine tree was.
Oh wow!
It was a good 8 minivans that would have had to drive in a caravan to strap it to the top of their cars.
Were they sure it wasn't like a giant? You were going to Christmas somewhere?
I don't know. Maybe by the time they get there, it will be Christmas. They take that long to drive. Yes.
You know all the highways by the numbers, right? You don't know.
I don't know what is the Northwest Tollway is 294.
Actually, that's
the Jane Addams is 90.
Jane. The Northwest Tollway is called something else now too. It's got a name.
Okay.
But there's the Edens.
I don't think so.
I don't know.
I don't think that
numbers.
Has a name. 312-981-7200. Does 294 have a name besides the Northwest Tollway? I don't think it does. The Reagan? What's
the Stevenson? That's 55.
That's that way.
That's 55. Yeah. Yeah.
That's 55.
Roger's governing the traffic. What's the 294?
What's the 294? Northwest Tollway.
Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's got a name.
No, the Northwest Tollway.
What is this? I've got a name.
Got your name right here.
Name
Glenn.
That street. Come on.
It's got a name. It just doesn't think it's people like the other, the other highways.
It's got a name now. It's the
14 is the Ronald Reagan, I think.
The Ronald Reagan. Mm-hmm. Then you have the Jane Byrne.
Might be.
Interchange.
That's right. That's new right over here.
Mm-hmm. 88, the Eisenhower.
I don't think so.
Not
88's not the Eisenhower.
Or is that 290 into 88?
I'm like all mad now. No.
No.
88 is not. 88 makes me very angry because for about 8 years they had it under construction and I'm pretty sure they were just moving it 4 inches over. What just happened? Why is there applause?
Because this reminds me of a song.
What's happening?
See, Winding Road. I got a name. You're trying to figure out what the name
is. And Roy is right. I was wrong about the Northwest Highway.
Right.
It is what, Roy? Roy, what's the...
The tri-state.
Glenn, it is the tri-state. It's nothing specific. There's no name. You mean like a person name.
Denial is tough. Okay, let me deal with it. Okay.
Roy, is there a specific name for the tri-state?
No. I've always known it as the tri-state 294 or the tri-state.
The tri-state. I'm with you. Yeah. I'm with you, Roy. Roy, are you in the... Where are you calling from, the 815?
Well, I live in Twin Lakes. I played your What's in the Box game a couple weeks ago.
Well, I'm glad you played.
Won.
Yay! Well done. Yay. And thank you for letting us know that it's the tri-state. Other people are calling and they're all hanging up because they're like, Roy's right.
We're getting a lot of text messages, too.
All right. Thank you, Roy. Have a great night.
You betcha.
Thanks, bye. What are the text messages saying besides more music?
No, it's the same thing. It's the tri-state, you dummies.
Oh, there you go. Glenn, that was for Glenn specifically.
Right.
I said the Northwest Tollway.
Yeah. Thank you.
Is there a Northwest Tollway, Roger Badish?
There's Northwest, the road that goes through your neighborhood. It's just
Northwest
the road.
Highway.
Yeah.
That's Northwest
it's
Highway.
It's not a highway.
That's why I was getting confused.
Yeah.
But it's called Northwest Highway.
Right.
Okay, so we've lost track of the prize here. We're talking about in the heat of
what,
good
again?
Night, Nick. What? That I lost track?
Yeah.
Squirrel! That's Nick Summers, who's the bartender extraordinaire from Howls and Hood next door. He's taking off. We'll see him again in a couple weeks. So you have, when is In the Heat of Night opening?
In the Heat of the Night opens 2 weeks from now, April 21st, runs through June 5th. This is at Theater Wit, 1229 West Belmont. Mm-hmm. It will run Thursday, Friday, Saturday at 8, Sundays at 3 p.m. You can get tickets at shatteredglobe.org, or you can call the Theater Wit box office proper at 773-975-8150. It's the last show of our 25th season, so
what?
This is the time. Got to get in now.
And you believe your artistic director is listening to the nonsense about the highways?
I am more than certain that since we started talking about the highways, it's the only thing she's doing right now.
There you go. You were talking a little bit before the break about the language, right? Because there is, when you're using, and I'm guessing the N-word is one of the words that we're talking about in the Norse language.
We figured it out. I have 8% of the N-words in the show.
Wow.
Yes, but it's very strong language.
They went through a number count. Did you do a word search in a file and went, how many times do I have to say this word?
Yeah, basically. It's Brian who's playing two other characters in the show who has the bulk of that, but it's a lot of harsh language.
He has the 92% of the N-words.
The 92% of it. Right. But it's a lot of harsh language. It's a lot of really terrible things to be saying to another person, you know, directly across from you.
Yeah.
It's funny because we've been talking about language. Okay, I'm going to keep you guys for one more segment. Do you mind? Because I want to talk about language and artistic expression.
Certainly.
And then we'll do What's in the Box at 1:45, at 12:45. At 12:45, we'll play What's in the Box. I do want to talk about language and how, you know, how it's received, what the boundaries are, and whether artistic or not, you know, what feels comfortable, because you said that it's kind of harsh.
Absolutely.
And you have to, like, sort of deal with that emotionally. Do I have a break before the news? I do not. So let's do this and more with our guests. And if you want to join the conversation, because you know that we talked about this, many of you know we talked about the R word last night, and so I am curious what you thought about that and what you think about the N word, because I've been told, you know, oh, it's not the same thing, don't relate those two things. Does it matter? Do words matter? 312-981-7200. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, joined by one of our favorites, one of our regulars. My co-host tonight is Elliot Serrano, our chief geek officer. He is in charge of all things geek, our geek content at all. I think at all is going to have to do for tonight.
At all.
At all.
Right. And shrimp mouth stuffer.
Oh,
I'm just stuffing my mouth for shrimp right now because I didn't realize something. I didn't realize there was sauce too.
Yeah.
So I went through a round and I was like, oh my goodness, the shrimp is so good. And then he went, well, did you try the sauce? I'm like, there's sauce?
And he is the shrimp he is speaking of is from Fullstrom's Fish Market on Belmont near Southport.
Lock east of Southport.
Southport. You know what happens? My brain freezes and I confuse Southport and Sheffield every single time. That's what happens.
Southport. Very early on, I said, you guys know where Shuba's at? Oh, yeah, I know where Shuba's.
Yeah.
Well, I'm right down the block from them.
Well, or they're right down the block from Fullstrom's
now
Fish
they
Market.
Are, yeah.
And we have with us in the studio of Mr. Peebles, and now I'll never know your first name again because I only know you as Mr. Peebles.
I'll take it.
What's your first name?
It's Steve.
Hey, Steve. And are you the director of the Shadow Globes performance?
I am not. I am not.
That you know so much about it. He seems to be very detailed.
That'd be Mr. Lou Conti, who has taught us very well, and in Lou we trust.
Lou
Conti. Runs a very tight ship for Shattered Globe Theater.
Excellent. So Steve Peebles, you play the character that has only 8% of the harsh language that uses the N-word.
Yes, indeed.
As a character. Well, in the Heat of the Night.
And I think it should be noted, I mean, there's plenty of harsh language. That's certainly the word that sticks out. But
for
I mean,
everybody. Right. It's rest of the harsh language you might just be accustomed to hearing either around your friends, maybe your parents, I don't know, at church. I don't know what kind of church
indeed.
You go to.
And I think that there's a noted difference between the words that we say and the words that we use.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly the way that the language is used in this show. I mean, they are weapons being leveled at the only black person in town.
Right.
So it's a much different, you know, even though you may be familiar with the word, but it's the live use of it that I think is what's upsetting.
Mr. Peebles has become my new favorite person when it comes to vocabulary and language because, you know, he's right. When you say a word versus when you use a word and the intent with which you use the N-word is to diminish and to dismiss somebody.
Absolutely.
And that's what the conversation we were having last night. So how did you guys, was everybody comfortable? I mean, if you're auditioning and you're an artist or an actor, you kind of have to decide, this is what I do.
Certainly. And I think that, you know, when you get that script and you see that word that you are not supposed to use in public or ever, You know, you have to justify it for the character to be using in the story.
Right.
And there are certainly stories that have used the word to less effect or gratuitous effect. I think that something that's really, you know, notable about this script is that everybody who says that word means it.
Right.
And it's supposed to make you feel uncomfortable.
And it
serves the story well.
Yes. And even if they're using it casually, the reason that they've gotten to that point in their life is because it's what it was expected culturally. It's what they were all around.
Right. They've been taught that that's okay. That's an okay thing to do.
Mm-hmm. And that was our point last night. Yes.
But there were times when Manny Buckley, who plays Virgil Tibbs, you could see in the early rehearsals, he was just uncomfortable with what was being said and getting used to it and all that.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, sure.
I sensed that in him, yeah.
Without a doubt. Right. At what point, I mean, right, because you have to wonder when you're an actor and you come from a culture where, you know that's a weapon used against you.
Yeah.
And you have to start questioning, is anybody a little too comfortable using that word? I mean, at what point do you try to, like, use humor to diffuse it or to just kind of go, this is what it is?
I don't think anybody in the show is comfortable.
Right.
With using that words or Manny receiving it.
Which it has to be hard because in order to be your best selves on stage, you have to be comfortable with it. You have to embody it. So it's a lot of work that's still, it sounds like you still have a lot of work to do even 2 weeks before you open.
Indeed.
Yeah.
And I think part of that comfort is, you know, the plan is this is going to be uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you become comfortable with.
Okay.
You know, if it ever becomes comfortable to the point where it loses its effect, that's a problem. That's
right.
When you need to, you know, step back and look at what you're doing.
And for those who are not familiar with the story of In the Heat of the Night, do you want to tell our listeners a little bit about that?
Certainly. You know, most people are more familiar with the 1967 movie with Sidney Poitier playing Mr. Tibbs, as in They Call Me Mr. Tibbs.
Mm-hmm.
And the story has gone through a couple different forms. It's based on the 1965 novel of the same title. Main story is that there's a murder in a small town in the South. The police go looking in the middle of the night for anybody who's suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
They find a man, Mr. Tibbs, Virgil Tibbs, who's a black man waiting at the train station, and haul him in for questioning because he's a stranger. In hauling him in, they find out that he's a homicide detective and a homicide expert. So they keep him in town to try and help them on this homicide that they're not used to dealing with.
How do I not know this story? Are you familiar with In the Heat of the Night?
I'm more familiar with the
TV
television
show?
Series.
With
that
Carol O'Connor.
Carol O'Connor.
Yeah.
Which is a spinoff more in name than in substance.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so they first suspect him because he's black and a stranger in town.
And a stranger in a small town.
Okay.
And so the story becomes, can he solve their murder for them before somebody in town kills him because they don't like the color of his skin?
Interesting.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
Wow.
Or the fact that he's in a position of authority in this white town.
Right. Who is the author of In the Heat of the Night?
John Ball wrote the novel, and this adaptation was put together by Matt Pelfrey.
And did for the theater company, for the Shadow Globe, what drew them? Is it the recent events and what we've been going through as a country?
When we first picked it, it was certainly informed by that, and it's just gotten more and more relevant since then. You know, we picked this play a year ago, and things just keep getting worse.
Right.
And it's certainly given us a lot to think about. I would love for this play to be not relevant at all, but that's just not what's happened over the last few
years.
Oh, look
at them putting on that old old-timey
that old
play
chestnut
from the 60s. Oh, look at them. Look how intolerant they used to be. That's so weird. Remember when people were like that?
Wouldn't that be great?
Things are so different now. My gosh.
Well, that was what was so startling. Did any of you watch the O.J. Simpson show on FX?
I haven't had the chance yet, no.
Bits and pieces.
So recommended. Roger, were you watching the O.J. Simpson show on FX?
No, I was not. I'm cheap. I don't have cable.
Mm-hmm.
But I do have Amazon Prime.
Right.
And I think if it's not on there.
Now, right, it might.
It might eventually be. And plus, we have access to my daughter's Hulu.
Yeah. Do you
or not, no, not Hulu. Netflix.
That sounded dirty.
I know. He felt like he was apologizing for knowing.
Well, I was.
She
not
shares.
Supposed to.
Yeah, but you have family members. I think you can share with.
But it's Netflix. And I think it's on. Is it not on Netflix?
Or? No, I couldn't find it.
No, not on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
It's on FX. So.
Okay. Then I'll have to wait until it's on Prime.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll watch. I mean, I know how it turns out, but I hear the writing and, well, what they have put in there that has come out since the trial is, like, awesome.
So very good.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I think that we need to do a field trip to the In the Heat of the Night at the Shadow Globe, which is at the Witt Theater. Yes, Glenn, you were going to say?
I was going to say, not having cable anymore doesn't make you cheap. It makes you sophisticated.
Oh, right? Really?
Interesting.
Yeah, hello.
I just realized why Mr. Peebles keeps sticking in my head.
Why is that?
Mario?
No.
Van?
You don't happen to have a pet shop with a gorilla you just can't seem to sell, do you?
I mean, not yet, but the night's young.
What are we talking about?
That is true.
Magilla Gorilla.
Oh, yeah.
Magilla, oh, I see. Now that's going to be stuck in my head. All right, let me take some selfies and let our guests have their evening back. Glenn, thank you so much for bringing us tasty treats from Folstrom's Fish Market.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. We love having you and look forward to having you back in studio. And good luck. And break a leg. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Oh, thank you.
As a
you,
fellow performer, I should say, break a leg and enjoy the opening and the run of your show. How long is the show running at the Shadow Globe?
Runs April 21st to June 5th.
Oh, wonderful. So we will make sure. And if anyone at the Shadow Globe Theater wants to have another visit, let us know how it's going. We'd love to have you back.
Sounds good.
Talk about race and theater.
And I do have a couple of small roles in the show also, okay? But
I know, you told us.
Yeah, nothing what these guys play.
Are you having fun rehearsing?
Always being modest. He's perfectly cast. Mm-hmm.
I don't get to swear, and I don't get in any of the fights.
You can swear all you want, just not right now.
Yeah.
More after this on 720 WGN. I feel like this is Mambo Number 5 mixed with something else. What is this?
It is the same guy.
It's the same guy.
But the name of this song is I Got a Girl.
I Got a Girl.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like I Got a Guy.
Esmeralda's into this music.
Excellent.
She was having a good
play it a little bit. Can we play a little more underneath? Sure. Or will we get in trouble? It's Esmeralda's birthday.
Esmeralda Leon, happy birthday.
Yes, it is. You know why? Because I often broadcast from L.A. This is part an L.A. show. So it's not even, it's only like 10 to 11.
And the way
LA.
That we do days, Patty and I, because of our shift.
What's our rule?
Today is still not tomorrow.
We have not gone to bed. Neither have you.
Yep.
It is still Friday. It is still your birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Are you doing? She's like my Goldilocks. She's like, this chair is not right for me.
Well, there was no headphones over there.
Oh, well, forget that chair. It's nonsense. You celebrated your birthday by having, they threw a gala for you at the Harold Washington
Don't
Library.
Say that because then people will actually think like, whoa, what does she think having galas at the library?
Here's the thing, Esmeralda. Is that really our fault if they think that?
Because I mean, I don't want
to. Do they think of me as a journalist? As a reporter of facts?
Well, I just the fact that I went to the event, I am now a philanthropist.
Well, I felt that you had that in you all along.
I bought tickets for this event at the Chicago Public Library.
She makes it sound like otherwise she was just going to sneak in, like hang out until the library closed, and then just kind of jump out from between the
Although,
stacks.
Although, the best thing happened. So, me and as people who listen overnights know him as V.
V.
We walk into the library to go in. I'm like, hey, I have a coat. And I was like, can we do coat check? And go to coat check. The guy who takes my coat.
Yes.
A guy I went on a date with.
No!
Who totally, at one point, ghosted on me.
No.
No, in my head, I'm like,
by the way,
suck it, because I look amazing.
I was just going to say, if there's a day to run into a guy who ghosted on
exactly.
you.
Exactly. No, it was a dream come true.
You are always glorious.
Oh,
let me just say that,
thank
first
you.
Of all.
Thank you.
But you are, as people will tell me sometimes when I look like I've got makeup on and stuff like that, you are on point.
Oh, thank you. Well, yeah. I got my makeup on.
But the
Sephora,
hair, too.
Sephora.
Did they do your hair,
oh,
too?
Oh, no, I did it.
That's gorgeous.
It's just a side bun.
It's just a thing with the elegance.
Just a side bun.
You look very elegant.
Yeah, no, and it was a dude. And it was funny because I don't, either he just pretended to not know who I was or he just didn't remember.
Right.
But in my head, I'm like, whatever.
Member.
Doesn't matter.
In your mind, you're like, member, you missed
out
on this. Member.
Actually, when I went to go get my coat, he was there again mm-hmm. and he asked for my ticket. And I was going to do a thing where I went, what was your name again? But I didn't. I just went, thank you. And I took my coat.
Yeah,
I'm like, you know what? Whatever.
Because you know why? You're now a philanthropist.
I'm over it.
Hanging out with V.
Fancy person.
I'm a philanthropist.
You could have ghosted him and not gotten your coat. That would have been amazing.
No, I need my coat. It's cold outside.
Did
it's
you tip?
Snowing.
Did you tip?
No,
of
there was
not.
No bucket. There was
no
bucket to tip.
You wouldn't tip him anyway.
There literally was nothing to tip.
You should have taken a dollar out of his bucket.
Oh, I like that.
Could you
should have ghosted the money.
I stare him right in the eyes ghosted. And I just take money out of his and I walk away.
For the date you never took me on.
Well, what are you here. Doing? Remember?
Remember this? Remember that? I don't think he remembered me because I am wearing a lot of makeup. So I don't know if I look.
Yes.
Sorry, different. From the 314, they're asking, what does ghosting on me mean?
Oh, sure.
Oh, mm-hmm. When someone just stops talking to you completely, cuts off all communication, mm-hmm. text, phone calls.
You can ghost on somebody everything. On a date. Like, let's say you're hanging out and having dinner, and they say, excuse me, I'm going to the bathroom.
And they just leave.
And they never come back.
That's why whenever I go on a date, I always check the bathrooms and make sure there are no windows.
And also not an extra exit.
An extra
exit.
Are you like the mob? You sit in the corner. There's no other.
So I can see.
Face right. the door. Yeah, I want to see the door.
I call that the Godfather chair. Mm-hmm. The Michael Corleone
Very
chair.
Nice.
Always take the cannoli.
Yeah, that's ghosting. Yep. Yeah, mm-hmm. No, it's the worst.
I saw it happen at a show in Wisconsin. I was doing stand-up comedy, in all fairness, it was the puppetry of the penis show. So whatever, that guy did not want to be there, but yeah, he ghosted on his date.
I wonder how that came up.
Let's
go to a comedy show. Mm-hmm. It's for men. how did she get him to get there?
Men.
And he's just like, okay.
But to ghost sort of in a relationship is to just stop responding
right.
to
texts.
I mean,
text we only met
calls.
A couple times. He did this weird thing where he ghosted, but then I sent a weird message, and then it went, I was in the hospital. And I went, oh. But then he ghosted again, so I'm like, all right.
Well, and the thing is, it seems easier now to just ghost on somebody.
No, it's almost very easy.
It's almost as though because we have so many different ways to keep in touch with each other that we use none of them.
No, I mean, I feel that's why people ghost, because...
It's just the volume?
Yeah, no, well, people meet someone... in a very anonymous way.
Right.
And then there's no connection in the sense of they don't have friends with that person. There's no way that they can get back to them. Mm-hmm. So if they do ghost, it's like, what are you going to do? You have a cell phone, or you have a phone number, you have a Facebook thing, and they could easily block you. Or a messaging
and you create
sort
another
of
account.
Thing.
I'm like thinking of all the ways I would stalk people in this
No, but they
age.
Could easily... No, but most Disappear. Accounts... Mm-hmm. Yeah. Most accounts, you need some sort of approval, some sort of thing where they'll let you look at whatever
right.
it is.
Right. You have to build up a sort of a collection of friends, too, that verify that's who you are.
Exactly. Yes. So
I know because I have 3 accounts.
Yeah. And when people ghost, they can easily just disappear, especially if you have no connection to them in any way. They can just disappear into the ether and you have no clue how to get in touch with them.
Is this happening to you at all, Elliot, with some of the relationships? Because you and I are of the same generation. So I can't. I'm trying to imagine dating and having to deal with the ghosting element.
I thought you were going to say that you have a very tragic dating life.
No, I don't. I'm trying to imagine.
She's got a non-dating life.
Not saying she was saying
oh, to
me,
you.
Yes.
Oh, come on.
By the way, real quick from the 312, we're asking for a recap on the V situation because they were not sure where it was at. I guess they missed some of the story.
Oh, so if you're can over can, in the can, late
can,
night.
Can V grab a microphone?
Is I don't know. Well, Kenny?
I've
Does he want to?
He is standing up. He's walking into the room.
I've met V.
I've met V on several occasions.
I had whiskey and a beer with V on St. Patrick's Day.
Right. So the V thing is from one night. Mm-hmm. I was overnight with Brian Noonan, and I had said something. I just said, this boy I'm seeing, and he just goes, what is he, a lizard man? And I went, yep. He's a lizard. He's a lizard man.
For the movie V.
With
the aliens.
Yeah, exactly.
And they have split tongues. Does he have a split tongue?
Yeah, right.
Do you have a split tongue?
Not to my knowledge. Not the last time.
There's V.
Yeah.
It's very exciting.
So now I've had to adopt this alien persona.
Yeah. So whenever Nick DiGilio and I
in context,
speak.
Of course.
He's got a great voice. I mean, I've hung out with him. Did he just drop in a radio voice? Because I don't remember him sounding like that across the table while we were in corned beef and cabbage.
That's true. No, I sound like a 12-year-old boy normally.
He sounds like
when I'm amongst like my him. People, I sound. That's my true natural.
From the diaphragm.
Yeah. Yeah.
From the diaphragm.
But that's the V.
I'm wearing a suit, so I'm very packed into it. Since I had to get all gussied up for the fundraiser.
For the philanthropy.
But yeah, that's the backstory. Is Brian Noonan started, and it was great because there was a picture that V posted of us from the library thing, and then Brian Noonan commented, is that V?
Yes. And now everyone, this
and
is V.
And then V posted, yes, that was V.
Yes, yes, I put on the human suit, and I'm amongst the people.
He's
observing your mannerisms and
behaviors. Because he's a lizard man.
Yeah.
He has an excellent voice for What's in the Box, Craig. I think he's going to do very well at this game.
Oh, there's a game?
There's a game coming up.
Yes. Oh, okay.
After 1 o'clock, you'll be playing What's in the Box. I think it's appropriate, don't you think, Elliot?
I believe it.
Yes,
I think when Esmeralda brings a suitor into the case, into our situation.
See, here's the thing.
A suitor. That's right, because you know what? You're going to sit on the front porch.
Suitor and
I'm going to light the candle. When that wax is all gone, your date's over.
Your gentleman suitor has to go home then.
Your caller is got to go
home. I just hear
home.
The loading of the shotgun.
I love that WGN is way more stricter than my family. Because Nick DiGilio also had like a, I have to approve everyone you date now. And I'm like, oh, okay.
I'm going to get audited.
And now, now Patty's like.
I know people. We'll get a background check. You know, bring the Marines in. Can we get the Marines in next time that V's in the studio?
Am I an astronaut now? Is that what I was wondering?
You qualify. Once you pass our very rigorous program.
Yes.
Yes, you'll be ready for anything. What were you going to say, Elliot?
I was going to compliment V.
Just wait till you have a girl that you have on more than
a couple
right.
We're gonna, we're
yeah,
right. We're going to we're going to bet her.
I remind me and I know now never to bring any of my dates.
don't even talk about them. You're single. Single till the day you die.
Yeah, you walk in, "Hey, tell me about this girl."
Nope.
And I was get her like, a microphone.
I don't know.
Yeah. I want a microphone, and can you just mic
hook
up
her up
your
to
dates?
A lie detector.
You guys stop making fun of this process right now, and you just behave yourselves.
That's right. The wax is dripping.
Calm down.
Yeah, you better use your time wisely.
For those who aren't on WGN.com watching the live stream, just so you know, V, they call him a lizard man, but he looks more like Mark Singer from V.
Ooh.
Sounds like him. And I'm just going to say, I'm not going to call you V. I'm going to call you Beastmaster.
Wow.
Okay.
He's going to be the Beastmaster.
I hope that doesn't mean.
Wow. Nostalgia references
up in there. Oh, my goodness.
I'm throwing all the only two
I'm
going to
ride out of here on a panther.
There you go.
Wow.
With a couple ferrets in your pocket.
Yeah.
What?
I don't know. That's a lot of vodka you put in his Bloody Mary there, Craig.
I'm really sorry. I'll put Elliot down.
Yeah.
A lot of ferrets.
Do you have a break before the news? Or
no,
is
we
just,
do not. Straight to the news.
Okay, 312-981-7200. We have What's in the Box coming up after the news. We need two contestants. We have prizes. We actually have a really cool prize. We have something extra to throw into the whole thing. So please give us a call. Let you know what that big surprise is. It's actually valued at like $140. So, and our other prizes are valuable as well from Apt Electronics and from Lou Malnati's. I'm throwing it all at the wall tonight, Craig. Let's just get this. Empty the closet. I've got a drawer full of cards.
Is it sticking?
It's
like pasta?
No, yeah, it's not al dente yet. It's more.
Until we get a winner.
It's more al piso. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. By the way, that means to the floor. That's what that means. Don't think I said something dirty. Piso? Al piso.
Little boxes on the hillside. Little boxes made of ticky-tacky. Little boxes on the hillside. Little boxes all the same. There's a green one and a pink one and a blue one and a yellow one. And they're all made out of ticky-tacky. And they all look just the same. And they all play on the golf course and drink the martini dry. And they all have pretty children. And the children go to school. And the children go to summer camp. And then to...
Oh, that means it's time for What's in the Box. We need contestants for What's in the Box. 312-981-7200. We have a whole gaggle of wonderful people in the studio. Gaggle. I rarely have a gaggle of people. And today I've decided that V and Ez are...
Okay. Does everybody get names like that, too?
Ez and...
And Lit.
Ad-S.
I'm just going to call him Lit.
Lit.
Yeah.
Elliot's Lit now?
Raj.
I think Lit works for Elliot.
We got Lit. We got Raj.
Raj. Raj B.
Cells.
Cells. I think Cells. I'm sure he's been called Cells before.
Yeah, sure. Let's go with that.
All right, Cells. Cells is in the studio.
We got Cells. We got S. We got V.
312-981.
My nickname in college used to be Stash.
Stash.
What now?
Short for mustache because I had a big handlebar mustache.
Come again for Big Fudge?
Big. What was it?
What?
That's from How I Met Your Mother.
Okay.
When I get confused.
We were all rolling with you. I didn't mean to call attention to it. So we have Lou on the line who's going to hold on just one moment. We have our first contestant. We just need one more. 312-981-7200. Tonight we do have a special prize tonight. For the first time ever, we have a once-in-a-lifetime prize. This is something that will never come around again, and I'm stalling because I can't find it right now in my emails from our sales department. I have a great prize. It is items this week. Here's your prize list. One moment. Everyone stand by. Nope, can't find it. This is going very well. Do you feel how well this is going with the prize list? Mm. Here we go.
Prizes.
Nope, that's not
That's what people get. Prizes.
This is when we were sending people to Minnesota.
It's a surprise.
Oh, that's a good one. You get a surprise for winning.
I'm about to ask Craig to. Oh, you know what? I probably have it somewhere. All of you talk amongst yourself. Adam,
you get a
sells
pat
it
on the back.
There you go, Adam. You have some tours coming up.
Yeah. While we're doing this, next Saturday, April 16th is Obscura Day. Atlas Obscura is running about 200 events across the country, and three of them are mine. We're going to be doing two walking tours at Graceland Cemetery. One in the morning, one in the afternoon. I've been in and out of there so many times.
Wait, what day is this?
April 16th. And I've been finding new stories about the place. I found the unmarked grave of a Revolutionary War widow recently. One of them I've been working on lately, if you go to mysterioushicago.com, there's a new podcast about a guy who's buried out there. Barton Edsall is in the plot of his wholesale drug company... His partner's family plot. What happened was, for about 2 days, all anybody in the city talked about was whether this guy was murdered, a suicide, or accidentally shot himself. They found him dying of a gunshot wound early in the morning, October 6th, 1871. It was all anybody talked about for a couple days. Afternoon of October 8th, he was buried at Graceland Cemetery in his friend's plot. That night, the Great Chicago Fire hit.
Wait, in his friend's plot?
His friend's plot. They didn't have, you know, it was an unexpected death. He didn't have a plot of his own yet. So, you
wait,
know,
so was his friend like,
said,
well,
his
double
friend
up.
Graciously said, well, here, you can be in my family plot for a while. And maybe they planned they'd eventually put him in his own family plot later.
Was his headstone there?
His headstone is there now, yeah.
No, but was the friend's headstone already set
it
up?
It might have been, yeah. I don't know for sure. But a lot of times people have a headstone set up for themselves. Like, you know, the Roland Burris tomb down at Oak Wood. He's got all of his achievements already on there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's kind of creepy.
Well, that's the great thing about your tours. Yeah. More about Adam's tours in just a moment.
Yeah, mysterioushicago.com. You can get tickets for those. And also in the afternoon, I'll be doing my Grave Robbing 101 tour in Lincoln Park, which will be everything you need to know to launch your career as a 19th century grave robber today.
Which comes in handy. Yeah. Very handy these days.
I need gold teeth. Where else do you get them? Right?
Adam will help you out with that.
Sure, sure. You know, gold is an element. It doesn't biodegrade or anything.
I mean, yeah, they'll be in the mouth.
It won't decompose.
Quick and easy.
We have two contestants on the line to play What's in the Box. I almost feel like I have to ask Lou and Lance to wait just a moment while we take a break so we can do a whole round of that. Lou, I know you've been holding on the longest. Can you hold on just a moment as we do our commercial here, and then I'll bring you back for What's in the Box?
Oh, of course.
And we also have Lance on the line. Lance, can you hold on just a moment? We're going to have you play What's in the Box.
No problem.
Excellent. Appreciate it. And here's what they're playing for. A pair of tickets to Sensory Overload at the Montgomery Club on April 14th. It's a unique three-hour foodie adventure that indulges the five senses and explores Chicago's culinary scene. Everyone else can get tickets and details at chicagotribune.com/sensory overload. Overlord. That should be a good title for it. Sensory Overload. More after this on 720 WGN.
Bit of ticky-tacky little boxes on the hillside. Little boxes all the same.
I love this one. We are playing What's in the Box, which is our Friday night game. We have a new game that Craig created with Senator Dan Katowski and myself last night, and we are very excited. We'll be doing
I'm
that
really
every
excited
week.
About that.
What's that from?
Uh-huh. What's that from?
That's it. What's that from? He says it better than I do.
Movie.
Yeah, we're reading movies.
Movie bits.
Yeah.
No, it's going to be good.
But tonight, we have What's in the Box. Our contestants are Lou and Lance. They're competing for a pair of tickets to Sensory Overload at the Montgomery Club on April 14th, a unique three-hour foodie adventure that indulges the five senses and explores Chicago's culinary scene. You can go to chicagotribune.com/sensory overload. A pair of tickets is valued at $170. And we also have a gift card from Lou Manfredini. Does he have a gift card on our show? From Lou Malnati's. And you can go to loumalnati's.com for more information about all of our Lou Malnati's destinations in the Chicago.
I was
going to
say, are woodpeckers eating in your house?
That's right. That's Lou can help
favorite.
You out.
Lou Manfredini does 2 hours. It's a 2-hour voucher.
There you go. Lou and Lance. Hi, Lou and Lance. How are you guys doing? Oh, wait, let me put you on the air. There we go. Hi, Lou and Lance.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey, guys. Lou, have you heard us play What's in the Box before?
Yes, I have.
Excellent. Lance, how about yourself?
I have not.
Okay, so I will, for you and for any of our listeners who have never heard us play before, this game involves the reading of reviews. It's kind of, it might be a theatrical performance of reviews for maybe a household item, such as a blender or a whisk, you know, like an electric mixer. It could be a whisk, I'm just saying. Electric whisk, yeah, it comes in the
electric whisk.
Yeah, because you can use an attachment on the hand.
I know, but I've never heard anyone call it an electric whisk.
I know, I do at home. I'm like, where's my electric whisk?
You mean a mix? It's a mixer.
Yeah. A mixer. Well, it's a hand blender that you can put a whisk attachment on.
A hand mixer.
Okay. Esmeralda's birthday, she can say whatever she wants.
I'm just...
You know, you're right.
Who has a hand mixer?
Or an electric mixer. Whisk. An electric whisk. Lance, have you ever heard of an electric whisk?
I think I have one at home.
No, it's called
Esmeralda. He says he has one at home.
It's called a mixer, though.
Don't make me cuss on my own show.
It's called an electric mixer. You don't call it a hand whisk.
It's an electric whisk. 312-981-7200. Do you have an electric whisk? Lance, my point being, we are going to read reviews of household items, and it might be a household appliance or it could be an adult toy. Let's cut to the chase. It might be an adult toy, Lance. The reason being, there are adult toys on Amazon. People will write reviews for them. And what I notice is that some of them look a lot like reviews for household appliances. Make sense?
It might even be one of those electric frothers you guys are talking about.
Actually, that's a thing. No, that's actually a thing for cappuccinos.
Not an adult toy.
And the like.
All right.
They make those for guys, too.
Cappuccinos?
The frother.
Oh, my God.
It's a Santorum joke in your
Lou,
someplace.
Lance, here we go. I'm going to have... Roger, do you have some of your reviews ready to go?
Because certainly do.
Okay. Lou, we're going to have you go first. Your response to the review is to guess whether it's a review for an appliance or an adult toy. Just say toy or appliance.
Okay.
Sound good? Cool.
Sure.
Here you go, Roger.
All right. First review here. We enjoy many different ways, and this is perfect for our needs.
Appliance.
Wow, good guess.
Right out of the gate. Was it a correct guess?
Or was it was a very good guess? Correct guess.
Just want to make sure.
Oh, good.
There you go, Lou. Right out of the gate, you are ahead by one. Elliot Serrano, will you please read for Lance?
All right, Lance. Here's a good one. First use was amazing, but the second time I attempted to use it, it shorted out completely. Pity.
What do you think, Lance?
I think it's an appliance.
It's a toy.
Oh.
Sorry, that was a toy. Wow.
That's so sad.
I would be really disappointed if, like, after a great first time, then it just shorts out the second time.
That would be a pity. Yeah. That would be a pity. Esmeralda, will you please read for Lou? Lou is ahead by one. You go ahead, Esmeralda. I'll get the V when I want to. Stop pointing at people.
Okay. It is amazing.
Oh.
I bought similar items for over $100. This is the best one so far. I cannot believe it is so inexpensive.
Mm. What do you think, Lance?
I think that is an appliance. Oh, it's in the ear. Hold on. It's Lou.
Is it Lou? I have 1-0. Okay, yeah, go ahead, Lou. Yeah, you're right. Yes, go ahead. Lou. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Lou.
Okay, I'm going to guess appliance.
Toy.
Oh, it's a toy. All right, now it's Lance's turn. V is going to read for Lance.
Actually, his name is Beastmaster now.
Beastmaster. Beastmaster will
so
now be reading.
So many personas to get
I know. Got to live up to all of them. Yeah. Lance, here comes Beastmaster.
It does the job, but it's cheap material, and I guess you get what you're paying for. Womp, womp.
That's an appliance.
Oh, that is a toy.
Oh.
That is a toy. Someone was disappointed.
Gosh, what was the material?
These toy
burlap.
Reviews are...
Yikes. Actually, wouldn't that be better? Rough? No? Okay.
We should talk later. Hey, Craig.
Figure it out.
Different boats get floated different
hey,
ways.
You know, you guys do your own things.
Like, I don't want any burlap near my froth.
He sure is a beastmaster.
No.
It's a different way to make it.
Just someone froth out of your burlap later.
Oh, there we go.
Roger may never be able to participate in this. He's trying to hide.
He's completely just shoved his body somehow.
On the Roger Cam, you can go to WGNRadio.com and view on the Roger Cam.
Roger is now resting with his arm over his face.
Very, very.
In a regal position.
Fan of the opera.
Adam Selzer, will you please read for Lou? Am I correct? We're at Lou? Yes?
That's correct.
Okay, excellent. Adam.
It looks like it tried to melt the moment it got wet. Why would it do that?
It's a deep philosophical.
I like how it tried to melt. Like the thing has become sentient.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Lou?
I'm going to say a toy.
It is a toy.
A toy.
Oh. Yeah. Send me that link just to avoid it.
Yes. What do I not want? Roger Badish, will you please read for Lance? Lance is behind 2-0.
Okay. Just so you know, this is one of your favorite.
Oh.
I drilled a hole in it from the bottom up. Then I inserted a stainless steel rod into it. Now it's perfect.
That's what she said.
Goodness.
Oh, my goodness. That's an appliance.
That would be a toy.
I don't even know how any of that happens.
What is
here's the thing, Esmeralda. What happens is, I'm kidding.
I have a very small idea of what a toy is, so I don't know.
We now. I'm sorry. Lou is still ahead, 2-0. It is Elliot's turn to read for Lou.
All right, Lou. Hold on. Okay, here's a good one. Oh, I love this one. This is a really enthusiastic review. I can only say that it is a gift of God to me. I am thankful to him. And that's the maximum I can say.
Hallelujah.
Okay.
Praise be.
I'll guess a toy.
It's an appliance. Sorry, an appliance.
Wow.
I mean, although it would be ironic for a woman or someone to thank God for a toy.
Oh, I know I do.
What? It's called every other time. What?
Huh? The Lalo Corporation has my greatest gratitude. Can you please, Esmeralda, read for Lou?
Purchased this as a gift for my mom. At first, I was a little hesitant in purchasing this because of some of the reviews. But I'm so glad I did anyways.
Is that for Lance?
That's for Lance. You're right. Go ahead, Lance. Sorry, the last one was for Lou.
That's an appliance.
It's a toy. Let's freak everyone out.
That's a very progressive family. Yes, for mom. I know. Yeah,
you feel the need to go on Amazon and tell everybody that your mom buys you sex toys.
These are, by the way, Lou and
Lance.
No.
They purchased it for their mom.
For their mom. They're really bragging.
Yeah. Hey, I've helped my mom shop online.
FYI, Mother's Day is coming up. Yeah.
Make sure you buy your double A's.
May something.
For the record, Lou and Lance, I want you to know these are the sort of gentle reviews that I've been able to find from the adult toy sections. Elliot can attest to that.
None of ours. Yes. I'm just going to say that. Mm-hmm. I don't buy these for my mother because that would be weird.
No, there are unboxing videos.
There are unboxing videos.
Which I can't.
And we have to check out the reviews now.
Oh, yeah, you do. No, seriously, it's some good reading. You learn a lot about yourself, about women. It's great. It's a good time. V, will you please read for Lou?
Certainly.
Excellent.
And I'm going to do this only because anybody that could misconstrue me for a serviceman, God bless everybody that served. I got this from my now ex-wife before I deployed. It obviously wasn't satisfying enough because within 2 weeks she was getting the real thing instead of using this.
Oh, no.
Would not buy again.
Oh, wow. Wow. What? Oh. Yeah. No, blame the toy. Blame the toy.
Yeah. You know what?
Blame whatever it is.
Or the appliance. Blame that washing machine.
I feel sorry for whatever it is.
Beastmaster read that with so much passion. Did you write that?
Well, he's never served, so
what's
that
the
was
the amendment
like...
I have to quote. Yeah.
His nickname is Beastmaster. Right. He had to fight somewhere.
I think Lou would like to be able to answer Beastmaster. Yes.
Or the woodpeckers.
No, that's okay. No, that's fine. It sounds like you guys are having a great time.
Yeah. Well, I hope you are too. I would hate to exclude you. Yes,
there's a competition going on.
Yes,
here,
there is. Lou, what do you think? Was that a toy or an electric whisk?
Well, I'm served and I'm divorced, so I'm going to say an appliance.
Oh. Yes. It's not an appliance.
It's not an appliance.
It's a toy.
It is a toy.
What do you mean you served in your divorce? Why would
so
you?
So he would have insight in it.
I know, but.
I was in the service.
Yes.
I was in the Air Force. Insight. And I'm now divorced.
Look it up. Is not a blender.
It was not, a blender.
No,
okay.
Or an immersion blender.
Thank you for your service, Lou, by the way.
Yes, thank you, Lance. I think that we were all thinking that Lance has just thanked Lou for his...
It was my pleasure.
Well, thank you. We're still going to give Lou a prize regardless of what he ends up winning. On top of that, you both get prizes, just so you know. Let me read one for Lance. And since Lou had that one, let me read a similarly phrased one. Great purchase, and as described in the listing, I prefer to use for stimulation. It is the best thing ever. Love it. That's for you,
it's
Lance.
That's a toy.
That's a toy. Just make it. Those are my tiebreakers right there. I passed some of these out. There's actually
not having a zero.
I took out a word.
You even took out a word.
I took out a word, and
kind of,
I think.
Like
darn! And I had your favorite one here, Patty.
We're not done playing yet, Roger.
We aren't.
No.
Oh, I thought it. I thought you were all done.
No, I'm not sorry. At all. Oh, okay. No. I just want to put Lance on the board.
Oh, cool.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Lou, are you ready for Adam to read to you?
Certainly.
All right, Lou. It was so good, my daughter stole it when she moved out. I need another one.
Oh, no.
A lot of familial interconnectivity.
Wow.
This is kind of creepy.
Yeah.
I hope appliance.
It is an appliance.
Yes.
Well, we all get to breathe aside.
Yeah, we're going to be late for news, so we can do this all in one segment, Craig. Roger, will you please read for Lance?
Okay, here we go. Lance, you got to get this one right.
Oh.
Okay.
All right, here we go. This is one of Patty's favorite. It has continually variable speed with fingertip control. Should not drive or operate heavy machinery for 24 hours afterwards.
Oh. That's a toy.
There you go, buddy.
There you go. Wow.
Where do I get one of
those? I don't even know where we are anymore. Okay, Lou is winning 4-1 so far, right? That was Lou you read for, correct?
I believe so.
That was Lance.
That was Lance. So it's 4-2. I'm sorry. Lou has 4. Lou has 4. Lance has 2. Is that correct? I'm going to go to the judges right now. Craig, is that correct?
Yeah, why not? Yeah.
Okay, Elliot, please read for Lou.
All right, Lou.
This is the first time we've ever had contestants with the same, like, L's. I don't even know why I'm thrown off by it. It shouldn't be that. It's Lou and Lance. Lou served in the Air Force. Lance is from the 312. That's all I got right now.
All right, who am I reading for?
For Lou. Lou.
All right, Lou. Would definitely be recommending this to everyone strongly, even. The moment you use this, you will know why.
For the win, Lou, what do you think?
Toy.
That is correct.
Yay! Hey. Congratulations. Lou wins 4-2. We have several gifts for you to choose from. Craig's going to give you a choice of 2 out of 3, and Lance will get the third one. So we have a for you pair of tickets to Sensory Overload at the Montgomery Club on April 14th. Go to chicagotribune.com/sensoryoverload. We also have an Apt gift card. Go to apt.com. Thank you, Steve Shapiro, out in Glenview at the App Store, electronic store. And a Lou Malnati's gift certificate. Lou Malnati's is home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, joined by our chief geek officer, Elliot Serrano, who has ridden sidecar for the whole show. I want to let you know, Elliot, Hannah Stanley has made it home safely. I want to thank everyone on the highways for pulling over to the right so she could clear safely.
Well, it's great that everyone knew when you saw the angry blonde mm-hmm. swearing out the window. That was Hannah just pulled to the side.
Get out the way.
Hannah has landed.
Hannah has landed. Good. She's very safe. Joining us now in studio, also safely arriving here, is Adam Selzer. You don't have far to commute, do you?
No, it's only like a mile. But it was a scary mile, honestly.
It was very scary because of the snow?
I didn't come out expecting there was going to be actually like an inch of snow on my windshield again. and there was.
A little intimidating. It's not unexpected.
I'd already put away most of my accessories for getting rid of that stuff.
Yeah, it's not cool.
And then, the roads are pretty frightening.
It's very frightening. Esmeralda, are you hanging or are you leaving?
No, we have to go.
All right, then. That's all right.
Karaoke bar.
Yeah, what karaoke bar are you going to?
Alice's.
All right. Go, everyone go to Alice's. Go hang out
What is your go-to karaoke song?
Good question.
Hungry Like the Wolf.
Hungry like the wolf.
Now, everyone at Alice's, when you get there, go up to Beastmaster and say, hey, can I see the ferrets in your pocket?
That's a good question. I like
For
that very
record,
much.
I think if ferrets enter into the mix, like, legitimately, girlfriend just goes away.
Is that true?
Yeah. I think ferrets.
I walk.
Ferrets equal
I walk
now.
When I see ferrets.
We are done.
Well, but if it's a really large ferret, wouldn't you be, like, intrigued?
What are we talking about?
All right, then. Esmeralda.
All right, have fun, Esmeralda, at the place where you're going to sing the songs and stuff.
Happy birthday, Esmeralda. Sing it, Ez.
Oh, it's such a go-to song. She knows all the words. Oh, she's doing so good.
Right?
Yeah. No, it's your, like, favorite song, probably.
Have fun, Esmeralda. No, I love it. It's her birthday. She sings anything she wants, any way she wants. Joining us in the studio again, I said Adam Selzer has some tours coming up. I want to make sure Elliot, bye, Ez, bye, V. Have a good time tonight. Thank you so much for coming in.
Hungry like the bear.
Do you want to take the cheesecake with you, or are you good? Okay. Cheesecake? Take some
lime pie.
Yeah, get it.
If they need a snow shovel, I got one in the trunk.
He has a snow shovel. I'll get you your electric whisk as soon as I can. You get electric whisk? Can you order that online for Esmeralda and electric whisk? Appreciate that immensely. Elliot, did you have anything any events coming up that you want to let us know about?
No, I'm good right now. Just everything. The big event that I have going on right now is Crawl Space Evacuate 2016. You know, I've got my.
Well, I blame the ghosts. And Adam Selzer can come to your place and possibly give a tour of the ghosts that have caused havoc in my crawl space. Yes.
In your crawl space, sure.
So you were talking earlier about some tours you have coming up next week.
Yeah, a couple at Graceland Cemetery and one in Lincoln Park, which was once a cemetery. Mm-hmm. Still has some relics left.
And they cleared that all out and moved everybody to Rose Hill Cemetery on Western Avenue for the most part.
They left a lot of people behind. just a lot of people.
Well, and that's always the thing when
they never move everybody when they do.
Exactly. And I think that was I remember there was a big battle at O'Hare Airport when they were going to relocate some of the remains of people from a cemetery there in order to expand the runway. Is, it's just kind of creepy.
Well, when you don't, doesn't that give you like a haunted runway?
Craig T. Nelson ends up in a pool with corpses coming out of the ground.
Because you only move the headstones. Right. You only move the headstones.
The archaeologist I consulted is a guy named Punk Rock James. He told me, man, I'm cleaning up his language a bit here, but he says, if the world were like Poltergeist, every archaeologist would be screwed.
Right, for messing with that stuff. Well, that people always, they protest like the Cuyahoga Mounds down in Southern Illinois. And there are locations like that all over the country, obviously, where you have these ancient burial grounds. Mm. And at what point is it sort of, eminent domain? Is it, for the better of the community that you have to relocate? Is it the nearness, the accessibility of recent relatives? Or if it's thousands of years, we just kind of go, well.
At what point do we start saying, well, let's dig them all up?
Right.
And, if it's like nobody seems to object really if it's like a 10,000-year-old burial site.
I think they do down in Southern Illinois.
Sometimes, yeah. But other times they like find an old like a Neanderthal cemetery or something or the equivalent thereof, and nobody seems to object if it's a real archaeological site.
Right.
Whereas when they were moving the stuff that is now Lincoln Park, some of these guys had been there 5-6 years.
Right. And then you have to go, well, and especially it was the late 1800s.
Yeah.
How much respect was there really for the recently buried?
The Victorian funerals were a whole thing. There's this whole Victorian death cult going on. But the idea of a cemetery being a nice place is very new, really.
I know. My husband, when he started dating me, I think it was one of the strangest parts of my personality is that I like going for walks. Yeah, I like going through walks through cemeteries.
I just find it interesting that you go from cemeteries to when my husband and I first started dating, that is like a really like a shifting gears.
Yes, when we started dating, he found out that I liked going for walks in cemeteries.
But they're very peaceful, though.
They are.
Going through the cemetery is
some of them, like, they have lagoons, they have beautiful trees, they have benches, they have beautiful flowers.
If you're a writer and you need an idea, they're literally all over the ground. You look at a name, say, who is that guy? Look at a big monument. It's like, why would they build something like that?
Why did Billy literally die when he was 18 months old.
Right.
Right? That's just, yeah. I love that.
No, no, I've been to the great, what do you call the place where all the graves are?
The cemetery?
Cemetery. The cemetery. Where Jim...
Hey, we can all have a brain freeze, Craig. We can all have a moment.
I really should take the drink away from Elliot, though, at this point.
Well, you made that drink.
You made that drink.
I'm really sorry, buddy.
That's okay.
It's also the lateness. He's been trying to drain his crawl space.
Literally. Literally.
For the last 48 hours.
Yeah.
So. He has a flooded crawl space. I'm not making things up.
Elliot, how is the new girlfriend?
Oh boy. See. So anyway, so I went to the cemetery where Jim Morrison was buried, and I remember
Père Lachaise.
Yeah,
I'm not sure if I pronounced that right, but
But I remember how unassuming his headstone is, and it's kind of like crammed in between a whole bunch of other folks.
Right. Yeah,
you know, and that to me is even a story. You know?
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, yeah. What sort of a family member gets the ornate huge headstone or the statue, or who decides what was the family tradition to have a mausoleum? Mm-hmm. Mausoleums are weird to me.
They are.
I don't know. I mean, it's kind of cool. Like, I want to have a house.
There's only so much space in there.
Yeah, there's a house and a cemetery. Just always
my father's actually in a mausoleum.
Oh really?
Yeah. It's not our family mausoleum. It's his second wife's mausoleum.
Oh, that's complicated.
Yes, it is quite complicated. I'm not resentful or anything. I just find it interesting that my dad is there.
Do you visit?
I have not visited him since he's been put in there.
Okay.
Because again, there are all these stories, and I don't know. I don't know if I want to walk out with one.
Are there more reports of hauntings at mausoleums in comparison with your traditional burials?
Well, no self-respecting cemetery doesn't have a couple of ghost stories that grow up around it.
Yeah.
I can't really think of too many of them. Like, we've got at Grayson, we've got this one, we call it the Statue of Death. Officially, it's called Eternal Silence. It's a guy in a hooded robe. It's it was originally all bronze, but now it's mostly turned green, except for the face, which is all black. And it's the creepiest thing. I dug up the guy's probate file who paid for it to be built in 1907. He put $250,000 into this thing in 1907.
What?
Money. There's no way they spent that. Laredo Taft statue, it's a very nice thing, but I can't imagine they spent $250,000 on it in 1907 money. But it is terrific. There's a couple of urban legends about it in the city, and it would be to the shame of Chicagoans everywhere if we didn't have any urban legends about this thing. It's so creepy looking.
Oh, yeah, no kidding.
But... We don't have very good ones, though. Like, it's like one of them is that if you look into its face, you will see your own death. You know, it takes 2 seconds to debunk that. You look into it, don't see your own death. Now that's done.
Well, and what point is your imagination taking over?
Right,
too?
Absolutely. Yeah. And the other is that it's supposedly impossible to take a clear photograph of it.
Oh,
but that's back in the days before digital cameras. Phones. That might have been a little bit easier to spread around.
Mm.
But now, you take a picture, it came out fine, and then you're done.
There you go. Before we take a break, how do people find out about your tours?
MysteriousChicago.com.
And two, speaking of seeing your own death, have you ever seen yourself cry in the mirror?
I don't think I have.
What?
Exactly the correct answer, Adam. Thank you. I don't know why I said adder, but exactly the correct answer, Adam.
You made your own cocktails as
I
well.
I did. I made my own cocktails. I'm having a little bit. But and you've never wanted to. You've never been crying
you've
and
never
said
seen
the
yourself
thing
cry.
I need is to see myself in the mirror.
I can't think that I have.
Yeah, no. Exactly.
Well, now it's your assignment. Roger, have you ever seen yourself cry in the mirror?
No, my eyes were closed because I was crying.
Exactly. Good answer. Good answer. 100 points. Is it on the board?
Wow.
I was very distraught. And plus, it's not like I've never been in a situation where I've been in a room with a mirror when I've been crying. And while I'm crying, I don't say, hold on, let me go find a room with a mirror.
Oh, exactly. Correct.
Are you two related?
Yeah, we might be.
Yeah, it's exactly the same answer that I believe that Craig gave
There's
us.
There's no reason to see yourself cry. You don't
Elliot,
do
this
that.
Is the first time we've ever been outnumbered in the have you seen yourself cry
conversation.
You don't
start crying and run for the mirror.
Exactly correct.
Yeah.
This is the first time. Even Carm has said that he's seen himself.
Sometimes you're just in a room with a mirror. You're crying.
And plus, why do I need to see myself crying? I already know I'm crying.
You preach, friend.
But what do you look like while you're crying?
I look horrible.
Yeah.
I'm crying.
You don't know. You might be.
I'm distraught.
Exactly.
Unless, of course, I'm laughing hysterically, which, again, I start crying and coughing uncontrollably.
Right, probably spitting.
Yeah.
See that.
Have you seen yourself laugh in the mirror?
Well, yeah, I mean.
Not
probably.
You.
Okay.
Oh, have I? No. Again, same answer for the crying bit. I have seen myself on the video here on the TV screen because most of the hilarious guffaws that I have engaged in have been here.
All right.
And on the air and for all to see.
Craig, have you ever seen yourself laugh? I didn't mean to get
No, it's fine. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I have. Like laughing, that's you know, you do that more often than crying.
I want to live Craig's life.
That's a good life. No, I hope for everyone that you are laughing more than crying. Yeah. More after this on 720 WGN.
I don't know. This is the end of the show. We gotta go. The end of the show. Go.
I love that we're all just dancing around Mapu Bala. He's just sitting calmly. Elliot's getting into it. Roger Badish is up there. Adam Sells just throwing himself into it. Craig, I didn't get video of your masterful dance moves.
They're amazing.
Mapu Bala's looking around like, oh, right, I forgot about the end of the show sometimes.
No, I love it. I just wish I had three cocktails in me when I got here. Because then,
you didn't put three in my glass, did you, Craig?
I didn't count the vodka. I just poured for a while.
No, you were fine. Here's the thing about a Bloody Mary. It's like a salad in a cup.
Ugh. Can't handle the idea of a Bloody Mary.
Okay.
It's
not for everyone.
I don't think it is.
We also don't like seafood. And I would say Bloody Marys go quite well with seafood, actually.
I believe that.
Yeah. I don't know why. It just seems to work out that way.
Bit of a Sally when it comes to certain things. I won't eat seafood. I do not want a Bloody Mary.
Okay. Fair enough. I don't think there's anything wrong with you for that. Just go. Matt doesn't like that.
I may need to expand my horizons, though.
But if you don't like it, you don't like it.
Yeah, but don't you think both of those things are things that you have to be a little willing to get into to like?
I think it's very
rare the person that has never had a V8, never cared for tomato juice, because it sounds awful, and gets a Bloody Mary and goes, oh, this is delicious.
Yeah, that would never happen. Yeah, if you don't like V8, you're not going to like a Bloody Mary.
Yeah, you got to give it a few chances.
Or never. You don't have to. It's not required.
Nothing's required in life, Patty. Yes. But, you know, if you
try something else. It's if you don't try, then it's, you know, that's sad. But
that's
also
the thing. I refuse to try Bloody Mary.
Yeah, but you don't like tomato juice. So you've already tried it.
I've never had tomato juice. It sounds disgusting.
Oh, I'm confused.
Trying is the first step to failure.
That seems
good
accurate.
Good point. Let's stay in the comfort zone.
DNA Info,
that's
there
why
was
you
an
don't
interesting...
start a pretzel wagon. Mm-hmm.
There was an interesting story on DNA Info in Westtown. What? There was a man who was living in a van, and people were in support of him.
People were helping him out.
Yeah. That was a...
Is that Craig trying to get us on track right there?
No,
what's going on right there?
Bit,
here we go,
right
back in the lane. Turn our signal on.
There was some debate. I saw even when the posting went up, there was some debate from the people commenting. Some people said that he was a bit of a nuisance. Other people said that they really liked
him. Well, it was interesting. So it was in Westtown, was it, Craig? And there was a guy who was down on his luck living in his van, but he kept parking on streets in front of people's areas. And they're like, you know, kind of freaked out by it because this guy that's been living in his van.
Right.
So you tend not to look very clean and, you know, upstanding if you've been living in your van for a month or two
Hard
with your
shower.
Dog.
Sure.
Yeah. So some people called the cops, and this was an interesting story because the cops came and talked to the guy. The guy has lived in that area his whole life. He, you know, it's one of those areas that's as it's getting nicer, the rents are going up. He lost his job. He's
familiar with the area, so he couldn't stay close.
He lost his place. Mm-hmm. He was out of work. He lost his disability. And so he was just kind of staying in and the cops came and talked to him and then went and talked to some of the neighbors and said, hey, this guy's fine. Why don't you guys try to figure out a way to help him out? So Fatso's Last Stand had a jar out for him and encouraged people to give gift cards and money. It was kind of a feel-good story, Craig. Thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah, I like that story very much. And I love what DNA covers, you know, down to the neighborhoods, what's going on from block to block in people's lives. So thank you so much. Are you enjoying that?
I'm having a really good time with that.
You're
reporters,
doing very well.
Thank you very much. It's a lot of fun, and the reporters are great people, and it's cool to get to chat with them about things. So, I think I did, I counted it up today, I did 35 stories this week or something with that. I talk to about six reporters a day and do the different stories they're doing. And it's a lot of fun. It's a good time.
And what do you have coming up on the show tonight?
On the show tonight, we're going to speak with Marcus Berkman, who wrote a Star Trek book, Set Phasers to Sun. I'm not a Trek person at all. I was born in 71, so I was 5 and a half when Star Wars came out. So that's it for me. Mm-hmm. And Star Trek.
So Star Wars was your thing.
It seems very Cubs or Sox to me. It's always been that way. I don't feel like you can be both. You know what I mean?
Elliot,
I'm sure
you
can. I'm sure different people disagree with that.
Can
Elliot,
you both?
Elliot, what's the verdict
I'm
on that?
I'm with Matt on this.
I do not feel that I should hate the White Sox. I mean, I ignore them.
Right.
But I don't dislike them.